Plenty of flights have been grounded lately, but one plane that is definitely still flying is the Freedom plane, the specially decked out Boeing 737 that's flying 9 original documents from the founding of America all around the United States to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. By the way, apparently a 250th anniversary is a semi-quincentennial, or semi-Q for short. The Freedom Plane is a lofty high-altitude initiative of America's National Archives and the National Archives Foundation. It took off on the 2nd of March and will be hopping across the land of the free until August. And I'm very pleased to say that the CEO of the National Archives Foundation, Patrick Madden, joins us now. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So where did the idea for the Freedom Plane come from, Patrick?
Well, the National Archives staff and the National Archives Foundation have been working on 250th ideas for quite a while. That's what we do in the history world. And as we things started to bubble up, this idea of getting documents out of Washington and sharing them with the American public really came to fruition. And we were inspired, as we look back at the bicentennial in 1976, at the Freedom Train, which traveled around the country to 48 states for 18 months, thousands of little towns. And I think conservatives would tell you today that's not necessarily the best conditions for documents. So we looked at ways to travel around the country a little bit more efficiently, a little bit safer from a conservator standpoint. And so we ended up with the Freedom Plane.
And I gather, as well as the 1970s Freedom Train, there was also a Freedom Train in the aftermath of the Second World War. Is that right?
Yes, it was. And so the country had a little bit of experience of celebrating its founding, even though it wasn't necessarily tied to one of the major anniversaries. So it was something that was familiar to folks who were living in the time. And we've definitely had folks who have heard about the plane and said, I remember going to see the Freedom Train.
Do you have to specially modify a Boeing 737 to take these very particular parchment passengers on board?
That's a great question. You know, conservation and the preservation of the documents is the number one priority of the archives. The goal is really to save these for future generations. So modifications, no, because the documents actually fly inside the plane, not in the cargo hold. So they're very comfy and very safe.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So, Patrick, what are the lucky 9 frequent flyer founding documents that are going around the country?
So we start actually before our most famous one with the Articles of Association in 1774. This was the first time the colonies stood up to Britain and said, we're not happy with management. And so that was in 1774. And then we have the Oaths of Allegiance. These are documents that are not commonly seen. They are usually in our vault. Visitors will be less familiar with this. So in that snowy winter outside of Philadelphia, when George Washington is trying to keep the troops together, he's writing Congress saying, I need more money for munitions, boots, food. The burgeoning bureaucracy was starting and they sent a bunch of little cards saying, we need everybody to sign these. And it was the Oath of Allegiance saying, we no longer as the troops support the king and his family. And what's interesting about these cards, so number one is George Washington. George Washington then witnesses all of the other officers, and then Henry Knox, general, witnesses all the other troops. So even in the very beginning, before we had a government, we had some bureaucracy. and so we have these little cards, which is a great moment in the Revolutionary War. And a great fast forward, it's actually the predecessor to the oath that everyone from the president of the United States, elected officials, the military, anybody who works for the federal government, they raise their hand on the first day and swear an oath to the Constitution. Well, the Constitution didn't exist. So that was the version of the times.
And you've got the one that was signed by George Washington. And I did note that you've also got oaths signed by Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. And I wondered whether those selections might have been influenced by a certain musical.
Well, you know, we did look at all the options and we thought these are signatures people are quite interested in these days. So yes, they joined George Washington. Everyone always likes to see George Washington. So those are the first set. Then we have an engraving from 1823 of the Declaration of Independence. So the story on this is in the first several years, we traveled the original Declaration around the country. We were so proud of it, obviously also a little bit of propaganda. And it was in Washington, D.C. over a fireplace in direct sunlight. John Quincy Adams, then Secretary of State, noticed it's fading. So they said, we need to make a copy of this before we can't read it anymore. So they used the technology of the time, which is called a wet transfer. And so they basically put a wet piece of paper on top of the Declaration. They peel a layer of ink off it and put it on a copper plate. It takes engraver William Stone almost 3 years to engrave it in reverse. So at the National Archives, we have the original copper plate. And from that copy in 1823, about 200 copies were made. And there are about 20 or so that are known to exist today. And we're traveling one of these on the Freedom Plane. And what's great about it, it's the same kind of paper, same ink as the Declaration. You can see all the signatures. You can see the first time ever United States of America is used as a phrase. So we know people who will come and visit, they'll say, hey, John Hancock's signature is really that big.
On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Patrick Madden from the National Archives Foundation of America about the Freedom Plane, which is flying 9 original documents from the Foundation of America around the country as part of the semi-quincentennial celebrations that are coming up across 2026. Look, I won't press you for every single one of the 9 documents, Patrick, but I wonder if you could give us a couple of other highlights from your VIP documents that are flying around the country.
Absolutely. Well, the Treaty of Paris is a big one because that ends the Revolutionary War. The other one to me that's a real home run document is the final document, which is called the Senate Markup of the Bill of Rights. So when the Constitution was passed, a lot of the states were upset that the Constitution didn't include individual rights. So George Washington goes to the capitals to convince them to ratify it. He says, look, we need to know how we're going to, what our form of government is going to be, how we're going to work. We promise the first thing we'll do is work on a Bill of Rights. If you have ideas, send them to us. So New York sends 4 pages of ideas. Other states send ideas in. The Congress starts working on it as its first thing. It goes to the House. It goes to the Senate. And during the Senate, each night, it's typeset. And the Secretary of the Senate's job was to listen to the debate and then cross things out, add things as they were approved. On the day, the copy that we have in the exhibition is the day that the Senate is debating what becomes the First Amendment. On that piece of paper, it's Article Number 3, because there's 17 amendments. They get whittled down later. But on that particular day was how we the beginning of the formation of what is our First Amendment.
Patrick, speaking of states being upset, how did you choose where the Freedom Plane would or would not land?
Well, it was based on a number of decisions. And as you can imagine, there's a few folks who are a little bummed that we haven't landed a little closer to them. It's driven by a number of things. One, these are paper documents. There's only so much light time that we have collectively. So basically, general rule is if a document is on view for a year's time, it has to be reserved for 10 years in the dark to save that time. So we have a certain amount of time, roughly about 6 months between March and August that we're traveling them. So we have to be very judicious about where we take them around. We try to get them off the East Coast. There's a lot of 250th activities happening in the original colonies, states on the East Coast, and move them out to the public who are less likely to travel to DC, might not ever see these. So we're down in Florida, Atlanta, Kansas City, Houston, Denver, Detroit, and then on the West Coast, LA and Seattle. For folks, your listeners, probably LA and Seattle might be the closest trip to check it out if they want to come see them.
How many people are you expecting to see these documents? I think when the Freedom Train went round in the late 70s, the estimations are that about 7 million Americans saw them over 21 months. What are your expectations and hopes for the Freedom Plane?
We're expecting hundreds of thousands to come. It just opened up in Kansas City last week. And in the first weekend, they saw thousands of visitors. So we're really excited about the interest, the demand, and the opportunity to share these with so many people.
Does it pose some insurance challenges taking documents as precious as this on a plane for half a year?
There are insurance considerations. There's a number of security considerations. We don't like to obviously talk in specifics about the security controls, but for each of the venues, the light levels, the environment, the access to the public, the security was all part of the decision-making process. So what I can tell you is they'll be very safe while in the National Archives. They'll be very safe in the transportation and then definitely when they're on view with the exhibit. So we're very confident that we've got the right mix of things. And this is in keeping with all the parameters and the policies that the National Archives does when it travels any exhibit. This one is especially drawing a lot of attention, though.
Now tell us honestly, Patrick, do you sleep just as well on days when the Freedom Plane's in the air as when the documents are open for public exhibition on the ground?
Gives me a little bit of pause, but you know, I have a lot of faith in our partner. Boeing was a great partner and donated the plane to travel around the country. They put a great paint job on it, so everyone knows when it's landing. That's really exciting and has created a buzz in these cities as we're getting off the ground.
You've mentioned a whole series of factors that go into the selection of the documents that deal with the physical state of these precious documents today. Is there another factor in the 250th anniversary, which is all sorts of other celebrations that are happening and the need for documents to be in other places as well?
This is just one. It's probably the flagship initiative that the National Archives has taken on and definitely the most complicated. We're also taking founding documents to some of the presidential libraries that are part of the National Archives. Some of the governors have requested documents connected to their state. So we're doing a number of things to get the documents out, even if they're not in the 8 cities of this particular tour. We are trying to get the more documents out in this special anniversary year.
There's been a lot of commentary, obviously, about the fact that politics everywhere, but particularly in the United States, has become increasingly tribal and partisan. Are you finding from the visits that you've had to the Freedom Plane documents so far that these founding documents still remain a genuine source of unity and common sentiment amongst citizens?
That's an important question. I think what we're seeing in this, again, it's just sort of started to get off the ground, if you will, with this particular tour, is the demand and curiosity and interest to see these are apolitical. This is a shared history we all have. We could always sharpen our history skills and knowledge so to see the actual documents firsthand. Gives people a reflection point. It gives a chance for dialogue. And what we hope is renewed civic spirit as well. We actually, the design of the exhibit, there are 3 key cases, is modeled after the rotunda in the National Archives in Washington, D.C., where people come and they see the original Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And we watch over the many years, people flow through there and how they have these sort of 3 moments. And that's kind of what we tried to replicate in the Freedom Plane tour and exhibition design, is that they have the chance to sort of walk through our founding and see documents that, frankly, most people have never seen before.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering whether there's a cohort of people who might be interested to see the documents, but also note that there's nothing about slavery and that all the documents are signed by men.
Absolutely. Well, that's part of our history. That's what we do at the National Archives. So I think we want people to take away is this is a snapshot of that time. These are our founders. These are the times that they lived in. These are the histories that they have personally with regard to slavery or other leadership moments, General Washington as a leading the troops and so forth, becoming the first president, being a precedent maker in himself while owning slaves, but then eventually freed them at his death. So there's all these contradictions, just like we all have as humans today. But because they were the founders, I think it begs that question for more conversation. And the most important thing we see in this exhibit, as we see in our history, is that as a country, as a nation, we are always striving to form a more perfect union. And I think we all realize we'll never get there. It's the point that we are striving towards that. And how do these documents make us reflect and think about how can we focus maybe a little bit more on that versus things that divide us?
Well, the Freedom Plane is currently in Kansas City, and there are 7 more cities to come. It sounds like a fantastic initiative. And Patrick, it's been great speaking with you about it on Sunday Extra. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Patrick Madden, CEO of the National Archives Foundation, which together with the National Archives has put together the Freedom Plane, currently flying 9 original documents from the Foundation of America all around the United States.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.